Good morning. It's really good to hear all this noise that you all make when you come up here, because it was so quiet in here during the times of COVID when there were just a few that were trying to provide the services. So I kind of like that noise. I think it's good. It's good to hear you. Good to see you this morning as well. Glad you're here. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're our honored guest. If we can be of any assistance to you while you're here, while you're traveling, or while you're visiting, if we, give us that opportunity, we would appreciate it. Kind of bring our minds in from the many things, the many challenges that the world offers. I thought we might read the 100th Psalm this morning in preparation for the services. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's enter into worship.
First song we'll sing together will be Seek Ye First. If you're using the book, it's hymn number 555. Let's all sing.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Number 574, and following this song we'll go to our Father in prayer.
There is a name
you pray with me this morning? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day that you've given us to come together and worship you. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the body that assembles here in Johnson City. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us as a group of people who, to proclaim your gospel in this area and throughout the world. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with Tim this morning as he breaks to us the word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will make us to be good students of your word, that we will ever be learning more and more about you and how you would have us to live our lives. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of those of the congregation that have physical ailments. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with these individuals, that you'll be with the ones that help take care. We pray, Heavenly Father, that a measure of health that they desire will be forthcoming and they will be able to be back with us. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of those that are shut in and not able to be out. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with them. We pray, Heavenly Father, that today will be a good day. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our country. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our rulers. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with those who seek to govern and lead us. We pray that, Heavenly Father, that these will be men and women of character. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they will look to your word and the principles that this country was founded upon. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, of the week that we have had previously in High Rock. We pray that those things that were learned at High Rock Bible Camp will be instrumental in the young people's lives, that they will have fond memories of their time at camp. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with the congregation in some of our upcoming events, the Men's Day, our Vacation Bible School. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with us, that we'll be able to proclaim your word. Heavenly Father, many times we sin and fall short, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will forgive us when we do those things that are contrary to your will. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with us in our worship today. We pray that the things that we say and do will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we have a scripture reading and Tim brings us the lesson this morning, we'll sing together, Sing and Be Happy, hymn number 587. And if you would, please stand with me as we sing this next song.
Bye.
hymn of invitation, following the lesson. If you're marking in the songbook, it'll be 915. 915.
Good morning. The children's training class is available this morning, and if you would like to take your children to that, you can do so now. The scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. That's Matthew 19. Verses 16 through 22. And behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
Dan read for us Psalm 100 as we began our worship, and that's one of our favorite psalms. And one reason that we like it so much is a statement it makes in there that says, "We are His people. We are God's people. God claims us." Is that not amazing? And it's also wonderful because it means we're the children of a king. But then he goes on to make this additional statement, "We are the sheep of his pasture." That's kind of humbling because it says we need him. We're just sheep. Sheep are not especially intelligent, and they've got to have a shepherd if they're going to survive. And that's what it is about us. We've got to have the Lord's help if we're going to make it through this life and on into eternity in the best way possible. So that's why we're here today. We're here to thank God for accepting us as his people, and also to say, "Lord, guide us, protect us, feed us, because you are our shepherd. We're your sheep." And so we're glad to be together like this and to have this time to worship him and to learn more about his will. We're so glad you're with us today. We've got a number of visitors with us again, as we always do. And if you are visiting, we're thankful you're here and would love to help you in any way that we can. And so if there's something you know of we can do, let us know. We'll do all we can to be of help to you and hope you'll come back and be with us again anytime. Members, always good to see you as well. We hope you'll come back and be with us again this evening at 6 o'clock. We're going to meet again to worship God. Any thought about outdoor worship, Josh? We'll see. So pay attention to the email this afternoon. If we do it, we'll send out an email to let you know. If you don't see an email, then leave the umbrella in the car. But it's kind of a iffy forecast, what I saw, but we'll do it when we can. We hope you'll be back and join us for that as well. And also, all of you that are joining us online, we're very thankful that you have joined us, and we'd love to see you in person, but until that day comes, if that day comes, we're glad that you're joining us in this way. I want to make one announcement, though, before we get into our lesson. A lot of you know Sherry Pierce. Sherry is the mother of Ashley Seal. And those of you that have been with Central a long time know that Sherry was at one time a member here. And then she went to the C Street Church, and Elizabethan has been a faithful member over there. Today, she says, "I'd like to be recognized as a member here." And we're very thankful for that. We love Sherry. We love her family. And she also asked that we pray with her that she might be restored, that she might be rededicated. She doesn't feel like she's been strong enough in her activity for the Lord, and she'd like our prayers that she might be more involved, more energetic. And I think that's a wonderful way to get into the work here. And so right now we're going to stop. I want to first, Sherry, would you stand for just a moment so people know who we're talking about back here, sitting beside Ashley and her family. And so we're just so thankful to have Sherry back with us again. But let's go to God in prayer. Will you bow with me? Our Father in heaven, we do praise you. You are marvelous. You are great. You're our Father. And thank you for Jesus, who makes it possible for us to call you Father. And Lord, we come to you right now praying that you'll bless your church here at this place, as well as your church all throughout the world. But right now, Father, we want to thank you for Sherry and her desire to come back and be a part of our family here at Central. We're thankful for the good that she has done through the years and what she will continue to do. And Father, we pray that she will have even more energy for your kingdom, more devoted to doing your will. And Father, just thank you for her wonderful spirit. We pray that you will bless her, Father. Lord, bless all of us. We need you in our lives, and we pray that you'll bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And just one other warning, after the sermon this morning, I'm going to leave quickly, because I know you're not going to like this. No, that's not the reason. Got to get on our way to the prison this afternoon. It starts at a certain time, and we have to really get on the road quickly. And so if you don't see me outside in the lobby, I've gone to prison, so you can tell your friends. But I love it up there. We've got some great friends in prison. We've got some brothers in Christ in prison, some sisters in Christ in the area jails. And praise God for opening these doors for us. Now get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God and find things that are going to be helpful for us, because God's Word is always helpful. Now, before we get into the Bible, first, just to kind of get our minds in a certain direction. A lot of you have already asked this question and come up with the answer, but some may still be thinking, where will we go on vacation this year? Where will we go on vacation? And there's lots of possibilities, as you know. We could go to the beach. We could go to the mountains. We could go to a theme park. We could go home, a staycation. And let's just relax at home and have a quiet and peaceful week. So what's going to determine the decision that you make? Well, a lot of it is values. If you really value peace and quiet, you're probably not going to go to that theme park, because that's really not what those are all about. And so values drive our decisions, whether we think about them or not. Now, outside of vacations, we live life on a daily basis. And every day we make decisions about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what words we're going to use when we speak to somebody, all kinds of things. And what is it that drives those decisions? And again, values. Values. What is it that I value? And when you look at what you do in your life, what you say, what you wear, a lot of things, that's going to point you toward the values that really are you. And so this morning, we want to raise the question again, what are my values? Are they godly? Are they worldly? Because we want to go back to the Bible. That's our theme for this year. The first Sunday of each month, we're looking at back to the Bible. And as we think about my values, your values, Let's go back to the Bible and see, what should they be? Is that really what they are? And let's be honest, there's no point in trying to deceive ourselves. God knows our hearts. Let's be honest, what are our values? Are they godly? Well, let's begin by looking at some whose values were shaped by the world. Some whose values were shaped by the world. And we're going to look at people in the Bible for this, but why start out like this? Well, let's think of it this way. Most every athletic team, if they're a good team, they're going to spend some time in the projection room. They're going to watch film from games that they've already played. Why do they do that? So the coach will say, you really did a great job on this, and that was just outstanding on that. Well, some of that. But it's also, look at how we messed this up. And why did we mess up? Well, here's what we need to do differently, and let's not make that mistake again. Good athletic teams spend time in the film room. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go to the film room in the Bible and look at four different individuals and see how that they kind of messed up. And we don't want to do that. Why did they mess up? And the answer each time is going to be values. For example, let's start out in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16. Now, you'd have to go back to the book of Genesis to read more about this individual. This kind of sums everything up. But for the sake of time, this is all we're going to look at. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16. The writer says, make sure that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. Now, you probably know about the story of Esau. He was the older of the twins. He and Jacob were twins, born to Isaac, the son of Abraham. And so that would mean Esau has the birthright. He's the older one just by a few seconds, but he was the oldest. And so he possessed the birthright. And you may think, well, what is that? That was a big deal in those days. It was a really big deal. And Jacob wanted that birthright. So the time came. Here comes Esau back from a big hunt. He's a big hunter. And evidently this has not been a really good hunt because he was starving when he got home. And here was Jacob making a pot of stew. And Esau said, give me some of that. And Jacob, seizing the opportunity, said, okay, if you'll sell me your birthright, you can have a bowl of my stew. And Jacob said, I'm about to starve. Really? You think he really was? I doubt it. He was just hungry. But he said, okay, sure, I'll sell you my birthright. And that's what this writer's talking about. Is that how much you value your birthright? What was it that was driving Esau that day? Well, it was his appetite. It was his hunger. Or, as the writer here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 says, he was unholy. He was not godly. He was unholy. And therefore, he gave up something he should never have given up just for one meal. And then again, he would be hungry again very soon. But let's go on to another example in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, Mark read this passage for us a few moments ago. And this is that rich young ruler that comes to Jesus. And you have to admit, this man has a lot of good things going for him. He comes to Jesus. He recognizes he is a teacher of the law. And he says, what do I need to do? What good deed must I do in order to have eternal life? And what did Jesus say? Well, he mentioned several things. And the man said, well, I've done all of those things. Is there anything else? Now listen again to Matthew chapter 19, verses 21 and 22. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, we talked about that just a week or two ago, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. It doesn't say it in as many words, but the implication, the clear implication is, he said, I can't do that. I know I asked a question, Lord. I don't like your answer. I can't do that. And why did he not do what the Lord said? Because he had great possessions, or maybe we should say his possessions had him. Is that a value that drives people? I mean, I want to have more. I've got all of this and I got to maintain them. And I make my decisions on that basis. I'm afraid that's what drives a lot of people, as it did this young man. And did he ever change his mind and do what the Lord said? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But he showed at that moment, at least, he valued his possessions more than the idea of having treasures in heaven. Now let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 6. Here we meet a man that we've heard a lot about through the years, and we always hiss when we hear his name. It's Judas. Judas was actually an apostle. Jesus chose him to be an apostle. And there must have been something good about Judas in those early days. He was right there with Jesus for 3 years, day and night, traveling with him. He got to see the miracles Jesus did. He got to hear the teachings. He saw Jesus' manner of dealing with people. What a marvelous opportunity. And yet, we're told in John chapter 12, verse 6, after he criticized Mary for breaking open that expensive anointment, here's what it says. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Judas was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Now, was Judas a thief when Jesus chose him? The Bible doesn't say, but I frankly doubt it. I think it arose when he saw, wow, that's a lot of money going into that bag, and nobody's auditing us. You know, the IRS isn't asking to see our books. I'll just help myself. And it got easier and easier. And now he is obsessed. And so he's willing to sell his Lord for money. And it's not a really great amount of money either. 30 pieces of silver? I used to think, wow, that's a lot of money. It really isn't. And even if it were the whole world, would it be worth it to sell our souls? And so again, you see, here's somebody that is driven by values. What do you value, Judas? I want that money. And I'd be willing to sell Jesus in order to get it. And then one other example is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through the first part of verse 11. These are some of the last words that Paul writes. We are pretty sure this is the last letter he wrote while he was living on earth. And it's kind of heart-touching because he's in prison. He asked Timothy to bring his cloak. Evidently, it's getting cold. He needs some kind of warmth. And nobody is there with him virtually. And that's what he says here in 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 through 11a. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Demas. There's two other places Paul writes about Demas, and both of those times he is a faithful co-worker. Apparently Paul thinks highly of him, but now he's abandoned Paul. He's deserted him. What happened? He's in love with this present world. Thankfully, that kind of thing just doesn't happen anymore, does it? Oh, I guess it does. And the threat is still there. But here's somebody that showed their value by the decision they made. And so all of these individuals show to us that's what can happen if we're not careful. And we don't want any of that to happen to us. In fact, here's how John sums it up in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. hey, I've got a real good real estate opportunity for you. This house is a bargain. Just disregard those flames you see in the back. Give me your money and the house is yours. Is that a good deal? No, the house is on fire. I'd be crazy to put my money in that. This world is on fire. That's what John says. This world is passing away. And we don't want to invest our lives in that. And so the love of the world is a value that many people have. Let's check ourselves and make sure we're not investing in something that will go up in flames and then we'll have nothing and we'll be in misery throughout eternity. Well, let's go on to in this lesson and recognize and choose some godly values. That's our next point. Recognizing and choosing godly values. Now, many of you who are parents, maybe you've taken time to try to teach your children something about value, about wise use of their resources. And you may say, okay, you can spend your little bit of money buying this cheap toy that isn't going to last more than 3 hours, or you can save it up and buy something that will really last and really be a good thing to have. And what we're trying to teach them is delayed gratification. You know, wait a little while, save it up a little bit, and then you'll really have something that you will enjoy so much more. Well, does God do that with his children? Does God try to teach us proper values? Yes. Let's notice 5 of those very briefly, because God shows us in his word, here's the things you need to value if you really want to have abundant life and eternal life. For example, let's start in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And let's check ourselves now. Here is a value. Do I have this value in my life? Does it drive my decisions? Matthew 5, verse 16. You know this verse. Very familiar. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus isn't saying, I want you to stand up and say, hey, world, look at me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to do good works. And good works, according to the New Testament, are things that help other people. That's what he means by good works. Here's somebody that needs help with their yard work. They're recovering from surgery. Or here's somebody that doesn't have enough food and they're starving. Or here's somebody that needs clothing. What are we going to do? Be ye warmed and filled, we might say. But that's not going to show them the love of God. And so Jesus said, let your light shine so that their needs will be fulfilled by your good deeds. But even better, they will give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, is that something I value? Really, I mean, is that something I value? And how do I know? How do I use my time? And when I see opportunities to do good things for other people, do I take advantage of those opportunities? Or do I think, well, somebody else will take care of that? And they will probably, but why not me? Because I'm part of the audience Jesus said that to, let your light shine. Do your good deeds and let other people give glory to God. So is that one of my values that drives my life? Well, let's go on to another one. Let's go to Matthew again, chapter 6. Don't have to turn far. Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 33. Again, these are all very familiar verses. But let's look at them in the light of values. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus had just talked about how, you know, you worry about what you're going to eat, you worry about what you're going to wear. Why? And then he says this in Matthew 6, 33, seek first. That's the idea of priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, all these things referring to what I need to eat, what I need to wear, where I'm going to live. God will take care of you, Jesus said, if your priorities are right. And what is that priority? Getting to heaven? That's part of it. But when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, he's also talking about, how do I make the kingdom of God a reality in my life? How can I bring the kingdom of God to my neighborhood, to my workplace, to my school? How can I show others the good king that I serve? And that's his righteousness. And again, is that a value that I have? Do I really want to show other people the goodness of God and make right decisions so they will know there is a God in heaven and his ways are best? I don't let the world tell me what I do. I don't let the world tell me how I should think or what I should see or what I should wear or whatever. I let the Lord in his righteousness teach me. Is that a value that I have? Well, let's move on. Let's go to the third one. Again, in the book of Matthew, go to chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and here Jesus has been asked the question, what is the great commandment? And again, you know this passage. There's a value here. Is this value driving me? Jesus said in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 37, in response to the question, what is the great law out of all the laws in the law of Moses? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So Jesus spelled it out very clearly. It's not hard to understand what he's saying. Love God first with everything you've got, and then love others. Is that a value that I have? Agape love, which means sometimes I put other people ahead of myself. I want to do what they need if I have that ability. I want to share my friendship. I want to share my faith, my salvation with other people. Do I show love in my daily activities? Is that driving me? And then a fourth value that we could note is found in the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 27. And you're thinking, boy, Tim, I know all of these passages. I hope so. They're very familiar. But do we think of them in the way we're trying to apply them now? This is a value, and it should drive us. James 1 and verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, when Jesus says to visit, he's not talking about a social call. He's talking about reaching out to help. Are there orphans and widows in our world today? Lots of them. Are there other people that have needs of various kinds? Absolutely. You don't have to look far to find them. They live within yards of our building. Some of them sometimes live out in the woods outside of our building. There are plenty of people that would benefit from the little bit of compassion that we might show them. And James says, this is what religion is, pure and undefiled. Now, there's a lot of other things like coming together on Sunday morning and partaking of the Lord's Supper and giving of our means and praying to God. All of that is important. But so is this: having compassion on those who are in great need. Is that a value I have? Does it drive me? Do I see evidence of it driving me? And if not, how can I change? And one other passage to consider, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. This one may not be quite as familiar to you, but it should be. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Peter said, like newborn infants. I'm so thankful we've got so many little ones here in our congregation. It doesn't bother me at all when they start making noise during the assembly. But it shows, you know, there's life here. And here's what he says about those little ones. He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Now, what does he mean by that? What kind of milk is he talking about? The Word of God. The Word of God is our sustenance. A child is going to start demanding attention when they get hungry, and you better respond or they're going to keep it up and you're not going to sleep. But that's a good thing for us. And we say, I want some words here from God. And if I ever get up here and fail to give you from the Word of God that milk, you confront me out there and say, Tim, why didn't you tell us about God's Word? We don't need your opinions. We don't need your funny stories. We need the Word of God. And that's what Peter's saying. Now, is that a value that we all have? And how would we know? Do we take time to read God's Word? To study God's Word? Do we take nearly as much time as we do to check social media, keep up with friends, watch television programs we enjoy? And if I'm making you uncomfortable, I guess I'm not going to apologize, because I'm trying to help us see these are very important ideas that we need to consider. We need to be driven by godly values, not worldly values. And that's where we've all got to look at ourselves and ask, what am I doing? What is coming from my life? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 sums up this point, I think, very well. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the wise man there said, keep your heart with all vigilance. Vigilance, we don't use that word a lot. We hear about vigils. If somebody's in an accident, you know, family members and friends will be at the waiting room at the hospital keeping vigil. They're staying up all night if they need to find out how are they. And that's what he's saying here. Keep your heart vigilantly. This is something you've got to really pay attention to. Well, why? For from it flow the springs of life. What do I find inside my spiritual heart? Values, the things I love, the things that drive me. Are they godly values or worldly? One final passage, Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In chapter 2, in verse 12, Paul had talked about being buried with Christ in baptism, hoping in faith, it's more than hope, in faith that we're going to be raised from the deadness of our sins. And so let's assume we've done that. We've been raised with Christ. And that's where he begins in Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, if you were baptized, if you came up out of the water, then what? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's clear. That's not hard to understand. What makes it hard is Satan knows what kind of bait I like to go for. Satan baits his hook with things that I love. I crave those things, and it diverts my attention away from the things above. And so I've got to really seek those things that are above, not the things of this earth. So now I'm going to leave it with you. You got to search your own heart. And I hope you'll be honest. What kind of values are there? Are you driven by holy, godly values or by worldly? And if you've not yet been raised up from the deadness of your sins, why not this morning? The plan of salvation is simple. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you're ready to repent of your sin, meaning, okay, I'm not going to live that lifestyle anymore. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. That's called repentance. And then we're going to confess our faith to others, and then we'll be baptized in water, symbolically with Christ, in order to wash away our sins and live righteously from that day on. Are you ready to make that decision? I hope so. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful, or has the world molded you in its image? It's not too late. As long as you're alive, Christ will say, yeah, I'll rework that mold. I'll rework the shape you are in. We'll make you what is pleasing to the Lord. And if you need to repent of sins and pray for forgiveness, we'll pray with you. If you just need encouragement, that's why we're here. So come as we stand and sing.
Before we show the Lord's Supper, we'll sing together, He Loves Me, hymn number 386. 386.
Why did the
Savior
He loves me. It's a very powerful description of our Savior. And as we prepare to remember and reflect on his sacrifice, I think this passage gives a lot of insight into the magnitude of that sacrifice and just how great a gift that Christ is to us.
That passage is Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15 through verse 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Let's pray for the bread. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we are able to gather here and to worship you. And dear Lord, as we take this bread, we remember the words, your words about your Son, and his greatness, his supremacy, his majesty, and his dominion. And we know that he left heaven to come to this earth, and he went to the cross, and he suffered, and he did that for us. Dear Lord, as we take this bread, we remember his body and such a great sacrifice. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's pray for the cup. Dear Lord, we come before you now as we prepare to take the fruit of the vine that represents your Son's blood. Lord, we know that we are redeemed because of this blood, and this blood gives us the forgiveness of sins. This blood allows us to meet here as brothers and sisters in Christ, members of one body and one church. Dear Lord, we pray that this blood, we not only take time to think of it now, but every day of our lives. And we are eternally grateful for your Son and for his sacrifice. And we love you. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Let's pray for the offering. Dear Lord, we know that you are the provider of all good and perfect gifts, the greatest being your Son. And dear Lord, it has been your will to provide us with even more gifts, especially physically in this nation, and all that you have given us, it's immeasurable. Dear Lord, we know that we have an obligation and we have the opportunities here to spread the gospel and to help those in our communities, in our country, and even throughout the world. Dear Lord, as we give back, we pray that you will bless these offerings and that they will be used to further aid the works that are being done here in your name. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, once again, we're thankful for this opportunity to come and gather in your name, unimpeded by government. We pray, dear God, for those who will be seeking a place of study and worship today, who may have to face obstacles that are foreign to us. We pray, dear God, for those that your missionaries, your evangelists, that may be serving in hard places this morning. We're thankful, dear God, for the opportunities that this country provides. We pray, dear God, that we would act in such a manner that you can bless our efforts. We ask for the blessings of safe travels. We soon leave this place. And we ask your blessings upon these families and these concerns we'll mention shortly. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please pick up your communion cups and dispose of them properly as you leave the auditorium. Renovations have begun as part of the old auditorium. I'm sorry, as part of the older building upgrade. Scaffolding and other construction-related equipment may be in the way for several days. We do not want children to experiment with these things or possibly get hurt. So please supervise children that may be moving to and from classes in those areas so that we don't have any injuries. We have several upcoming events. Food Fun and Fireworks, July 3rd at 7 p.m. VBS, July 9th through the 12th. Retired Men's Breakfast, July the 11th at 9 a.m. Redbirds Luncheon, July the 11th at Audbury's at 11 a.m. Dorcas Group, July the 12th at 1 p.m. Dad's Prayer Breakfast, Tuesday, July the 11th at the Eggs Up Grill. Please remember these in your daily prayers. Fred Shelby came through his surgery on Friday and all went well. Three blockages have been removed from his right leg. Karen Curtis is scheduled to meet with a pulmonologist on Friday to discuss the findings and results of a recent PET scan.